Welcome to the Coco Nomad Podcast, a show about location-independent entrepreneurship. I'll discuss the techniques, tools, and tips that can help you balance work and travel, and share my experiences and experiments in trying to make both a living and a life. Hey everyone, it's Coco Nomad here, and this video, I'm going to share the cost of living here in Playa del Carmen. So if you're interested in coming down and you're just curious of how much it costs to live, stay tuned. Okay, so this video is about the cost of living here in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. I'm just going to preface by saying that, of course, your mileage may vary. I will highlight some differences that you may have if you are living here and some things that you can do to sort of have a difference in costs or cut your costs and things of that nature. And this is definitely going to be more expensive than my prior video in Medellin, Colombia, but there's also reasons for that. So let's get jumping into the biggest one. The largest expense that I have, of course, is rent. So the lodging, and I'm currently spending about $1,100 a month. It's like $1,112 to be, I think, exact if we're doing the average. And this is like an average of the last 3 months. I try to like make sure that I get round numbers just because over time things can change. But this one's pretty solid. I mean, I went in with a new apartment. The first place that I had when I was here was an Airbnb, and it was a lot more expensive. So it wasn't really giving like a valid view of what the price is. And I came in December, so it was kind of the height of travel season, lots of snowbirds and people coming down to enjoy this warm weather and come to the beach from Northern America, Canada, US. So the prices are definitely jumping up. So I will say this, if you want to save money, you can probably spend at least half as much as what I've just spent on this apartment, but I wanted something that was very nice. I wanted something in a particular location. And this was a bit of a splurge for me because typically I stay in styles of places that are like a studio. I don't have a lot of room. I don't normally, but for my productivity and just for other reasons, I needed a separate space, and I really wanted to keep things separated. So I have a separate bedroom that have the door that closes, a separate bathroom, and a lot more space. So like, and this is the first place or second place I've had that actually had a rooftop pool. So the Airbnb, the short-term one, was the other one. So if you want to save money in this regard, I would definitely suggest you do a couple of things. And similar to the advice I have when you're in Thailand is get an Airbnb for a couple of days and walk around and call the numbers. Or in Thailand, you can just walk into there's usually someone in the front office to get pricing on how much it costs to stay in a place. And they'll give you a price and you can tour it, whatever. And here you can do the same thing. You're just going to have to do a bit of legwork. You're going to call, find out what the prices are. And hopefully, I mean, the one thing is going to be easier for you if you speak Spanish here. So that may be a reason why you might not want to do that. But once you start to get comfortable, you make some local friends, you start to know the neighborhoods and things like that, definitely is an option to go ahead. The other option is you can find a broker or someone to go as a go-between, but you are going to pay more money if you do that. And that's a decision you're going to have to make with your time. It's like, hey, how much is my time worth? I can walk around and make these phone calls. And if that difference between the rent and what you save and what you pay is less than what you would make doing something else, like working for your clients, working in your business, then it's easily worth just having someone else take care of that for you and just delegate. So I just wanted to preface that by making sure you understood that, like, yeah, you can get a place here, apartments. I've had places here for $500-$600 a month, even less with a roommate. But this time I wanted my own place. I wanted space, and this one has a lot of space. I mean, I have a back door patio that's enclosed and everything like that. So not every place is going to have those kinds of amenities. I have a full washer and dryer internally. So the space is big. I can cook, really love it. So for me, the $1,100 or so is absolutely worth it. So let's move to the next category, which is food and dining. And food and dining, again, I'm an eater. I like to eat out. I like to have people over. I did a lot more going out to dinners and a lot more cooking than I did in the past year in Medellin. I mean, even with the pandemic, taking that into account, I still didn't really go out a lot, didn't hang out a lot. There's a couple of places that I would go. I was here, I've done a lot more of that. I've been a lot more social here than I had been in the past 12 months. Probably after being cooped up, I was just definitely wanting to get out and be around more people. In small groups, I'm not going out, just before you don't comment about like It's small groups, and I've had small groups of people over to cook dinner. So, but I've been cooking a lot of dinners. I've been making a lot of crab cakes for people, and I'm really into ceviche and making all these dinners. So I spend a lot more on food, and that's including wine and tequila and whatever you make cocktails, all the ingredients to make cocktails as well. And people come over, I make drinks as well as dinner. So I'm averaging about $664 over the 3 months. So it's a bit heavy, it's a bit steep. And I also order food sometimes. So I'm not opposed to, like, every once in a while ordering Rappi or Uber Eats or something like that and having food. So you can definitely cut this one down if you come. Again, easily in half. You can cut that in half. If you go to the local markets, which I do to get fruits and vegetables and things like that. So if going out or drinking isn't your thing, you can definitely save a lot of money. So keep that in mind. The third highest category I have is charitable donations. There are charities and people that I support in the US and a couple other places around the world. And so my monthly average for that right now is $186, a little bit over, almost $187 a month. A lot of these are on auto pay or just making an automatic donation. Some are when the time comes, someone's doing a fundraiser and they, are trying to raise some money, and I'll do that. A sponsor for one of the gyms back home that keeps at-risk kids off the street. So that's another one. So I'm just like, okay, that one is more of like a title sponsorship. So I make a larger donation, but these are just for some of the other ones that I do. And the goal financially, I know a lot of people, or their goal is to decrease the amount of spending. Like, I could decrease the money, maybe save a couple of bucks on food and beverage and maybe on the lodging. This is one that I actually have plans, financial plans, just to continually increase that. I don't think that number is high enough. So as I do better, then I'd like, to be able to give more. So definitely trying to get that number at least up to $500 a month easily within the next year. So there's that. The next highest category that I have is education, and that's just me spending on books, me spending on Spanish lessons and things of that nature. And that's about $66 a month is about the average right here where I am now. And that hasn't really changed, because regardless of the location, it doesn't really change, like, the frequency of the lessons or the number of books that I'm buying on, like, Amazon or whatever. So it's about the same, and probably won't really change that much. The next one is actually one that oscillates a bit, and it's only because of the last couple of months. Here is what I call excursions. So, like, these are like little side trips, not big vacations or going out, because I'm a digital nomad, right? So I live in places for a longer amount of time, so I don't really go on vacation per se, but I will do side trips. For instance, I did a day trip to Cozumel, had fun renting scooters and hanging out. Did a day trip to go to some cenotes and Valladolid, on a small town that's a few hours away. And those types of things that I will do. And I average about $60 a month, $61 a month to do those types of things. I'd like to have at least one a month that I'm doing, but if you can, like, take a Saturday afternoon and get out of the city. There's a lot of stuff to do here, like going to the beach or hanging out, but sometimes I just want to explore some other parts, maybe go down to Tulum and see the pyramids or go to Chichen Itza or something like that. So I have a few of those planned as well coming up, and more cenotes, because there are tons of them here and they're definitely worth seeing. The next highest expense that I have is insurance, and that's just a steady one. Every month I spend $60 on health insurance. Mine's with World Nomad, so that's what I use. There are some other, or it used to be called Safety Wing, I think is the former name of it. And there's some other ones, of course, that you can have. If you're finding this information useful, though, let me ask, just, like, smash that like button right now. I almost never ask people to hit the like button, but it would really be helpful for other people to discover the information and get a sense of how much it would cost. So in the insurance category, we're feeling secure, and securely hitting that like button will be very nice of you. And the last two categories are really small. The first one is subscriptions. And again, this is not something that really changes that much. It has been lower in the past, ironically, but now that Disney Plus has come out with these television shows, I've actually added the subscription for Disney Plus. So now I have Netflix, Disney Plus, and HBO Max. HBO, I don't typically keep. I tend to binge watch the shows and whatever movies, and then I discontinue that subscription. So that one kind of goes back down. So I usually oscillate between, like, $42 and, like, $30, $32, $30 between these services. And so that's the next highest one, coming in at about $42 per month for the last 3 months. And then finally, my data plan, which is incredibly inexpensive compared to my former living in the US. It's $15. I use Telcel. I think it's about 6 gigs is the plan, the 30-day plan. It usually lasts pretty well because I'm using Wi-Fi in the workspace. I'm using Wi-Fi in the apartment, things like that, which is also included in the rent. I didn't mention like all my utilities and the Wi-Fi is all included. So that $1,100 is all in. Like I don't come out of pocket for anything else. But for the mobile plan, I can just reload on Zoom. And I talked about that in the financial apps video. That's how I recharge. I don't even go into like a local store to top up. I just do it right there on the phone. And it's because I get an alert, just top it up, boom, and I'm moving. But it comes out to be about $15 a month. It's a little bit more. It's actually not a little bit. It's like twice as much or so as I was spending in Colombia. I was probably only spending $68 a month for the data plans there. But again, Wi-Fi was ubiquitous there. We need to have it in the park. So even when I was walking out and about, I wasn't really using a lot of my data on my data plan. So it allowed me to keep that going a lot longer. Here, not so much. But the one thing I do like about the Telcel plan that I do have is when I go back and visit the States, I don't have to swap out a SIM card. I can just use my Telcel card. In fact, the only reason on my last trip that I had to switch over and use is I was coming from Colombia and I lost my old Telcel SIM card, so I had to get a new one when I came here this time. But it's great. So you can still use calls, top it up in data, and then boom, come right back here if this is my first landing point and I hit the ground running. So it's really, really convenient and nice. So those are the major costs for living here in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. And that's the 3 month average of the last 3 months, taking into account that it's the high season. I have to leave pretty soon. I'll be going back to the States to visit family and probably doing a couple other trips before I return. So I probably will do another video, maybe if I'm back here in the summer, to just kind of showcase the difference and possibly doing a longer term stay. I might even be in another city, although that's gonna be hard because every time I come back to Playa, I fall in love with it even more and it's harder and harder for me to leave. So I hope that helps. Have a great time. Put any questions or comments in the comment section below if you want any more details about things. And I'll try to answer as clearly and as quickly as I can. So really appreciate it. Thanks for watching and listening. Cheers. Take care.